George Hamilton was honoured at a ceremony in Paris earlier this week for his decades spent covering the Olympic Games. The sports commentator who worked at his 11th Olympic Games 3 years ago in Tokyo was part of the International Sports Press Association's journalists on the podium presentation at the UNESCO headquarters. And he joins me now in studio. I'm delighted to say, welcome to the show, George.
Thank you very much, Anna. I'm delighted to be here. Lovely couple of days in Paris, but this is great as well because we're in the middle of the Olympics still.
Absolutely, Olympic fever. Now, exactly, you've been in Paris. You know, you had a cause for celebration yourself, not just the all the medals that we've been having. Tell us about it. How did you find out you were in the running to receive the award?
I got a call about 2 weeks before the event asking me how many Olympics I had actually done. And I said it was 11 because I know that because I got my first Irish gold medal to commentate on at my 11th Olympics. So I was able to answer straight off the top of my head. And back came the word, well, listen, you're entitled to be in this presentation in Paris in a fortnight. Hey, what? I had heard about this. They did it for the first time at the London Olympics in 2012. They honour journalists, that's written press, broadcasters, photographers who've covered 10 Olympic Games. And so at 11, I was part of the party. And that was it. What's involved? We'll just come to Paris and we'll look after you.
And that they did.
And the ceremony itself, it was like a show. It was in a conference room of the UNESCO headquarters, and there was a stage, and there were dancers, and there were speeches, and there were videos of the history of the AIPS, which is the short form of the association, the press association. And then Jimmy McGee's face appeared at one point in the history of it. Yeah, it was wonderful. And then it came at the very end. It was the now journalists on stage, they said. And what did they do? They called up, I think it was 15 Olympic gold medalists. Daley Thompson, Ed Moses was there, Sergei Bubka, Nadia Comaneci.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Nawat Al-Mukhtel, the first woman to win the hurdles, the first African woman. And Tani Gray-Thompson, the wheelchair athlete as well. They were all there. Seb Coe and Chris Hoy. And they made the presentations. Mine actually came from Daley Thompson, of all people. It's wonderful. And then we got the chance, there was a brunch afterwards, got the chance to meet them and have a proper chat with them. But the kind of thing that you could dream about. You know, you're sitting up there in the stand and you're commentating on these great events. And you never kind of think that you might actually one day meet these people. And there are colleagues who will, of course, have interviewed them as they come off the track or out of the pool or whatever. But to have a social occasion with all of those around you, it was just incredible.
I can assure you there's many people listening that would say, oh my God, I can't believe I might get the chance to meet George Hamilton if they ever bumped into you as well, such as your stature as well in the world of sport. Because really your voice, you know, so many people recognise it when they hear it. And obviously we all know that a nation holds its breath and it really has, you know, such, I suppose, such resonance with people. And actually, you know, before we go reflecting on your career, you mentioned the gold there that you were part of. Let's have a listen to this.
They're home and hosed. They're ahead by a length. It's Ireland from Germany. And history is made on the water in Tokyo as Vincent McCarthy and Paula Donovan win gold. Gold for Ireland.
Their first gold. And of course, now they're back to back. Yeah. Like the first time you ever commented on the Irish gold, how long at that point had you been commentating?
Oh, 2021, and my first commentary was in 74.
Wow.
So it was a long, long time, nearly 50 years.
How did that feel in that moment when, you know, you got to, I suppose, be a part of history?
It was sensational because, of course, rowing was my number one sport. So when I got the assignment to do the rowing, I obviously had to bone up on it. I'd done a lot of homework. I'd watched a lot of rowing. And I felt that I was able to do it justice, whatever was going to happen. And, of course, they were the favourites. So it was just a question, really, of making sure that you didn't over-egg the pudding and have them winning the thing before they'd actually won it. But, of course, when it came towards the end, then it was clear that they were going to, the elation that you feel is just second to none, because you are part of something that's happening and you know that people are watching and they're hearing what you're saying, and you try to match it with appropriate words. And those guys are quite remarkable, because in the history of Irish athletics, I don't know that a lot of people would know this, but they retained their title and so too did Kelly Harrington. That's the first time that has happened since Pat O'Callaghan, Dr. Pat O'Callaghan in 1928 and 1932, when he retained his hammer title. That's how rare it is.
I mean, to do it once, amazing, but to do it twice, it really does. I mean, the level of commitment that, you know, has to be put in. But what I suppose we'd really all love to know as well, how did you get into Olympic commentary?
It's all RTE's fault. I came to RTE first in 1979 from the BBC mm-hmm. in Belfast, and BBC Belfast, while they would cover Olympic Games, they would send specifically to cover the Northern Ireland athletes. And Stephen Watson's there covering it for them at the moment, among others. But for RTE, my way of putting it was BBC Northern Ireland covered things with a local interest. RTE was covering things because they were there. And when I then joined RTE, the second year I was with them, the Olympics were on in Moscow, and I was part of the team to go to Moscow. I'd never done athletics before then, so that was the start of it. Wow. And it went on from there. Yeah. So RTE in 1980 in Moscow with a motley crew, I'd have to say, back then. And it went on from there. Los Angeles and then Seoul, of course. 92 was Barcelona, 96 Atlanta, Sydney, Australia, Athens, Greece, Beijing, and London, Rio, Tokyo.
When you reflect on the fact that 11 Olympic Games that you have been to the forefront of a commentary, how does that make you feel?
It all came home to me when I was standing on that stage in Paris on Tuesday, mm-hmm. that this has been a very, very long journey, and I have seen an awful lot of scenery along the way, and the moments, you know, they all come flooding back. And every one of those medalists, you know, there was a backstory to that event, mm-hmm. and when it took place, I didn't obviously commentate on them all, but I would have commentated on Seb Coe when he was winning yeah. his gold medals, mm-hmm. and to meet him in the circumstances that I did you just realised the sheer scale of the whole thing. And it's actually quite funny because I haven't been participating as a working at the Olympics mm-hmm. this time. I've had the chance to watch the Olympics yeah. as a sports fan. And what I have seen, it has kind of brought home to me the sheer enormity. I'm back to being a kid again and seeing the Olympics back yeah. then. That you realize, except there's so much more to it now. I mean, mm-hmm. who knew that BMX could be such an exciting experience?
I know.
Wonderful. Absolutely
wonderful.
And it
is. It's an opportunity to look at sports and watch sports that sometimes you might never even heard of or that you've never actually seen in real life. And now we're all sitting on our couches feeling lazy. Yeah. Watching them all being yeah. absolutely brilliant. Of all of the Olympics that you've covered, like, what were, you know, some of the stand-up moments that people might necessarily immediately think of?
Well,
for you,
there's a wonderful memory that I have of the Seoul Olympics, where the 100 metres between Ben Johnson and Carl Lewis, which ended with Johnson beating Lewis, and that was a standout moment. And then the following days, Johnson being banned for drug abuse and Lewis being awarded the medal. That race stands out. But something else that stands out from Seoul, we were commentating on women's 800 metre race, and there were two East Germans in front, and they'd run together in the front at the World Championships 12 months before in Rome. And it was the same again, the two East Germans out in front in Seoul. And as they came to the line, they crossed the line, and I had them back to front because I'd mixed up Christina Wachtel and Sigrun Vorders, because what had happened 12 months previously in Rome, when Wachtel had won the race, they'd shown the wrong athlete. They'd cut to the close-up with the wrong athlete. One was brunette and one was blonde. And this had obviously sunk in my head, and I had the names the wrong way around, so that when they crossed the line, I had the one I thought was the one but wasn't the one. Uh-huh. And from Dublin, in a voice in my ear, Niall Cogley, the editor, said, "Oops." At which point I had stopped, because the one thing you learn in broadcasting is when you're in a hole, you don't dig anymore. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I think we can fix this." And I said, "How on earth can you do that?" Anyway, it was the middle of the night. Not too many would have been watching. He said, "I'll read on the last 300 metres of the race if you think you could remember what." I said, "How could I ever forget what went on?" So he did that. And he ran it from 300 metres, the top of the bend in the back straight. And he told me where they were. And I commentated again, just doing the voices the names the other way around. And when they got to the line, I had it right, and it's a repeat of Rome, because I had it that there was revenge for Rome, but now it's a repeat of Rome, and it went out.
That was quick thinking. That was very good
on his part. It was absolutely brilliant. And the late Bill O'Hurley was presenting the morning show with all the highlights in it, and he never said a word to me about it. He obviously didn't know,
but most people wouldn't. Yeah. I suppose that when you're in it and you're especially when live in the moment, you're obviously so aware of it, but for a lot of people they're not. Mm. You know, what are, I suppose, some other challenges that you might experience experience working in the Olympics as a commentator?
Well, it's the sheer scale of the thing and the vastness of it, the crowds and the getting from place to place. I mean, there's another Olympic story from 2004 in Athens when I was actually on a day off and I was in downtown Athens when my phone went off, and it was John O'Brien, who was the team leader, and he said, "We have a bit of a problem here. Have you got your laminate with you?" And I said, what do you mean? He said, "Well, we need you to come to the broadcast centre." And I couldn't have got in if I didn't have my laminate, or indeed got on the Olympic bus to get me to the broadcast centre. So anyway, I had my laminate and in I went. And the problem was Jim Sherwin, the swimming commentator, was due to do the synchronised diving. But the crowds in the Olympic arena were so vast that he wasn't going to be able to get from the swimming pool to the diving pool. And they wanted somebody to be able to stand in for Jim. I said, I know nothing about synchronized diving. But they said, "Don't worry, don't worry, we'll fill you in." When I arrived in the office,
you'll give it a go.
There was a file half a foot thick, and I said, "I'd never get through all that." So anyway, the diving took place and it was going rather well for the Chinese, who are the favourites. And the Greeks weren't doing too badly. The Americans were doing okay. But then the Americans dived badly in their last, and that kind of puts the Greeks up. And then there'd been a guy jumped into the pool, a spectator jumped into the pool. Stop. He, in the middle of it all, his torso was emblazoned with the logo of a casino back in America, and he was doing it for a few bucks. Anyway, that happened. They got him out of the pool. The competition continued. And eventually the final Chinese dive, the one to seal it all, happened. And they went in, one of them went in beautifully and the other did belly flop. And up came the score. I had said in commentary that was bad. And up came the score. It was zero. I said, "That's how bad," thinking I'm really smart here. What I didn't know was if they don't both go in properly, it is a zero. Oh. Anyway, I didn't know, but I got away with it.
But I'm sure the vast majority of people didn't either. And I'm sure you made it very entertaining for people watching. I often think about, even things like the 100-meter sprint. Mm. Like, they have to be exceptionally challenging to commentate on because there's no room for error because it's over so quickly.
Yeah, it's when you think that the world record is less than 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And if you received wisdom is you can speak three words a second, maybe at a pinch four. That's between 30 and 40 words you have before the... after the gun has gone, before they cross the line. So there really is no margin for error. It's a tightrope with no safety net.
Yeah.
It's a challenge, and it's a challenge that you like to be faced with if you're in the broadcasting game. Mm-hmm. And when you get to the end and you have it right, and it's been a terrific race because the 100 metres always is full of incident. The worst is the 110-metre hurdles for men or the 100-metre hurdles for women, because if there's a faller in the middle of all that and it's only a couple of seconds longer, you can be... up a ladder,
yeah,
and swaying gently in the breeze. Not too sure how you're going to get down, but it's that's the hurdles. Yeah. Even more of a challenge. At least at the flat 100 meters, you can focus on who you think is going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
You have eyes on about four lanes all at once to see just who is going to come through, and most of the time it worked.
Well, speaking about people who we hope are going to do well, we have to bring up Rashida, and obviously she's running tonight. There is a lot of pressure in the air. You know, there does seem to be expectation because she is so brilliant.
Mm.
You know, I suppose for you, with your experience of Olympics and obviously being out in Paris, what is the mood like?
Oh, the mood is very positive, and she is a big favourite. There's no doubt they're all talking about her. And this, of course, brings with it its pressure. But I'm sure, like, she's run races, she's proven herself to be a star, a big star in the making. She won't be 22 until later this month. So it's early in her career. And she's got herself into an Olympic final, which is sensational in itself.
Amazing.
And we must not overlook that.
And she's 21.
21 years of age, yeah. It's just something that she has achieved that is way beyond what we would have been used to. This is the most successful Irish Olympics there's been.
Mm-hmm.
So why shouldn't she do well? So those are the two sides of the coin. Don't expect too much of her, because this is a phenomenal achievement that she's got to hear now. It was a bit like Daniel Whiffen when he won the gold first. You think he's going to win gold all the time. He comes in with the bronze, which is a sensational achievement, and he hit the nail on the head by saying, "Hey, listen, I'm the Olympic champion, I've got another medal." And he was so positive, glass absolutely half full. The same with Rashida. This is only the start of it. It'd be terrific, but let's let her run her race.
Absolutely.
We'll see what happens.
Getting into a final is terrific in itself, and actually we have a friend of hers on the line, Zainab Ogomade. Are you there? Hello.
Hi,
how are you doing? How's everything going for you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good, everything's good.
I believe you're over in Paris. What is the mood there?
So I feel like everyone's really nervous, just because like it is the final and it's the first Olympics. But at the same time, everyone's really happy because like it's a great achievement, and she's really, really, really young. And it's just like, wow! Like think of what she'll achieve in 4 years' time, 8 years' time,
and even what she's achieving now because it's an Olympic final. Who was there with you?
Her mum, her brother, her sister, and then the rest of her friends.
Amazing. Have you had any opportunities to speak with her, or maybe does she have her own routine?
We just speak to her like through text, because she's, when she competes, she's usually in the zone, because she doesn't really speak to anyone. She's just really focused on doing her best. So we'll probably speak to her after the final tonight. We'll probably get a chance to see her as well.
Of course, of course. And you were there for the semi-final. What was it like watching your friend?
Oh, it was crazy, because we were there since about five, I think. So we had to wait like 3.5 hours before we actually got to see her. And then we finally got to see her. And when she walked out, I felt like they held them for quite a while, which didn't help anyone's nerves. And then when she like shot up, I'm just happy that she's in the 400 because it's a quick race. But like the whole thing is just really scared. I don't know how she does it, because you actually feel sick. Because it could be so tight. Like, I was like, oh my God, she's first and she was second, but I'm so happy she qualified.
Yeah, she seems to handle the nerves so well. You know, can I ask you, what kind of person is Rashida? Because obviously you know her better than most.
I feel like she's just another, like, 21-year-old. Like, she's my friend, so, like, when I see people online talking about her, I'm just like, she's just another one of us. But one thing I will say about Rashida is she's really determined. Like, she has, like, the type of determination that you'd only see in adults, and discipline. So that's like two qualities that Rashida has that I think every single person that even knows her should really take from and aspire to be like. She's also a really funny girl. Like, she's a big joker as well when she's not on the track.
Amazing. Well, look, hopefully, like, you know, she's doing her thing tonight, and we're all behind her. So the very best of luck to Rashida, and my thanks of course to George and to Zainab as well for chatting with us.